If you've been here, we've been starting a series on the Holy Spirit. And just like the girls going to Africa, or just like doing VBS, if we don't go led by the Holy Spirit to do it, then it's going in the flesh and it doesn't profit anything. But we know when we go in the Spirit that lives are changed. We know when we go in the Spirit, Jesus is magnified. We know when we go in the Spirit, then the thing and the work of the kingdom is accomplished. So turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 8, verse 14. This has been one of our texts here, along with 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Romans 8, I'm sorry. I cry at every single movie, so that movie already had me crying here. How was the food, girls? Was it normal? I might be able to go to Africa. No monkey stew or anything like that? No? They didn't offer anything like that? No? Okay. We'll see. How long was the flight over the pond? Yeah, I'm out. Okay. I don't know, 20-something hours? I don't know. Some of you do that for work all the time, it seems like. But I don't know. For me, I've flown to Florida. That's about it. All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It says it like this. We've already read this many times, but this is a little bit of review here. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You've not received the spirit of bondage to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16, "The Spirit itself," or a better translation, "himself, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." You know, I've shared a little bit about my testimony about getting my master's degree and then joining the church. That's not exactly how it happened. A year before I resigned from teaching, Pastor Adam had come to me and said, "Hey, would you ever think about joining the church?" And I said, "No, not really." But that was him coming to me. We should never allow somebody to tell us what we are to be doing, right? It should always be a confirming witness in our spirit, all right? So when he came to me, I didn't have a second witness in my heart yet. And I told him at that time, I said, "You know, if I ever lose my heart for what I'm doing right now, then I'll come back to you." And I prayed about it. So I prayed about it, and I kept it there, right? And a year later, I walked in, I don't remember, before spring break or right after spring break or something. The kids are crazy then anyway. And I just, my heart had changed. It's almost like a switch had been flipped. And all of a sudden, I had the second witness that bore with me. And I went back to Pastor Adam and I said, "Hey, is that offer still open?" And we started discussing moving forward if I were to resign from teaching and to join the church. So timing is also just as much as hearing. If I'd have left a year early, we might not have been here fiscally, financially available and ready to receive someone. If I'd left a year later, opportunity might not have been there. So timing is just as much a part of hearing from the Spirit and following the lead of the Spirit as anything else. There's another example. When I was still teaching, Pastor came to me. There was a job position opening up to be a principal. I just got my master's. I was qualified to do it in this realm. And I went and had an interview, and it went okay. It wasn't my best interview, but I was out of my element. I'd never been a principal before, and I wasn't sure I wanted to be a principal before, and I think I told them that too. So when you're going to interview for a job and you tell them, "I'm not sure I really want that job," they don't really put you at the top of the list. But anyway, I went back home and I was praying about it. And, you know, I started thinking, "Well, no, I could do that. I could do this. Or maybe I should have said that. Maybe I should have said that." Anyway, somehow they came back and they were looking and they were actually offered me a second interview. You know, and it doesn't mean I had a job, but it means they wanted to delve a little deeper. Maybe a chance at redemption for my bad interview, right? But I told Adam, because he was on the board at the time, and I told him, I said, "You know what? I don't have a second witness to go and do that second interview." And it wasn't just about me not feeling like I should go. The Lord gave me scripture too. And I remember telling Adam this: for me, I'm still Paul and not Peter, because it's not a Christian school. And I know for me, I'm still to be where I'm at in the public school system. So the Lord not only gave me a second witness in my heart not to go for an interview, but he also confirmed it in his word. And that's what we have to judge every truth by: the Holy Spirit within us, bearing witness with our spirit, and God's word. If anything goes against either one of those and doesn't align with both of that inner witness and his word, if you don't feel like you're hearing or being led by him directly, we always have his word, then don't do it. Then don't move. Then don't act. Then don't go. This is how we know that we get led by the Spirit. I'm just giving you life examples because, you know, we all, by faith, receive that you can be led, that you are a child of God to be led by his Spirit. You're like, "Well, I don't hear the Lord." Yes, you do. Maybe you just don't recognize him yet. Or maybe we've gotten to the point where we've ignored him so long that it's harder to hear him. He's gotten quieter. But the good news is, by digging back into his word, by offering ourselves unto him, a living sacrifice, We can renew in ourselves the ability to hear and flex our spirit and grow in strength in our spirit muscle. We spend a lot of time on our bodies, flexing them, getting them able to work out, right? A lot of time on our minds, you know, creating new wave patterns, right? What do they say? Everybody's afraid of Alzheimer's dementia now. So put your left leg in first, your pants. Instead of your right leg, brush with your left hand, your teeth. Instead of your right, it creates new wave patterns in your brain to keep it young and healthy. Well, I'll just pray. I'll still do that, but you feel kind of foolish when you fall over the first time with your leg. Try it. It happens. But, you know, these are just practical examples of how the Spirit, how he leads and guides. You pray and you listen and then you just know. We're going to get, the Bible is real practical on his leading. We're going to get to some of that today. But he says this, when I was, I met Kendall and I knew right away that she was the one. Not our first date. We shared some of that with the Telfers over the weekend. I didn't know our first date because I didn't really, I went to see a race and she was there. That was our first date. But later, I knew that she was the one real quickly. And I'm glad that she ended up agreeing with the witness of the Spirit, because if not, I was going to turn her into a stalker, and that would be bad. Because I knew she was the one. I'd just be like, well, you're the one. Well, Lord, help her know, because it's getting awkward. You know, please. You know, but anyway, but she knew. But these are practical examples. How'd I know who to marry? I had a witness in my spirit that she was the one. And thankfully, she filled with the same Holy Spirit, she had a witness back. To the point where they went to Florida. Ken and Deborah took her to Florida in February, beginning of February, and we said, let's not talk this whole week while you're on vacation. Let's just pray about it to confirm the witness. And when she got back, it was Valentine's Day. I didn't propose on Valentine's Day. That's dumb. Who does that? It's a made-up holiday. So I did a week after to the date, so I always remember it. It's the week after Valentine's Day. But anyway, these are practical examples of how we can be led by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, the same church that we're a part of today, in Acts chapter 8, the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go near to the chariot. In Acts chapter 10, the Holy Spirit said to Peter, three men are here. They seek you. Go with them. In chapter 11, as Peter's recounting the story, he said, the Spirit bade me to go. In Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas, and Saul for the work of the ministry. In Acts chapter 15, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. And then in Acts chapter 16, the Holy Spirit forbid them to go into a place. The Holy Spirit was involved in the early church. He was directing, guiding, leading every step, where they should go, where they shouldn't go, who they should speak to, who they shouldn't speak to. It should still be that way today. We are still part of the same church today. The church, acts of the church are still being written today, led by the Holy Spirit. Can we be led today? Absolutely. In verse 16, it says that the Holy Spirit is a co-witness, bears witness with our spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. They'll put it on the screen. I read this before. We're going to review it. But as it is written, eyes not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God prepared for them that love him. In verse 10, but God revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? You know, in Proverbs chapter 20, it calls our spirit the candle of God. The way that he leads and guides us, the light he uses, our spirit. Because God is spirit. We are made in his image and likeness. How? We are spirit. When Paul says in 1 Thessalonians that, you know, he sanctifies you holy, and he says spirit first, soul and body. So much of us reverse that order. We say body, soul, and spirit. Why? Because we're body-minded first, and then we're soul-minded first, and we're spirit last. But that's not what Scripture is. Scripture, Paul said, spirit first. Spirit. We are spirit. This body will be sown back into the earth. Our spirit will not die. For what man knows the things but save the man which is in the spirit which is in him? Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us. See, this inner witness is an inner knowing. It's the best way to describe it. You just know that you know. In Romans chapter verse 16, it says, the Spirit bears witness that we are children of God. How did you know when you got saved? You knew on the inside that you were saved. How did you know? That's the inner witness. If I were to ask you today, are you going to heaven? You say, yes, absolutely. How do you know? It bears witness with your spirit you're going to heaven. And then you say, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for my sin. Adam, Pastor Adam, wonderfully went through all of what he did in his sacrifice for us when we took communion. I knew I was saved as a young boy, around 8 or 9. I've been in church my whole life. But in college, I knew in my spirit, I knew in my heart that I wasn't doing right. I knew on the inside. Rationally, in my head, what I was doing wasn't wrong. Everybody was doing it, right? Everybody was staying up late, watching when they want, eating dessert first. What does it matter if I do that, right? Everybody was drinking, partying, doing whatever they wanted to do. But I knew in my heart, I was heavily convicted each and every Saturday and Sunday morning. Sunday morning, because Saturday night I went to a party. Saturday morning, because Friday night I went to a party. See? But I was good the rest of the days of the week, which means nothing, right? But I would cry and repent every Saturday and Sunday morning on Purdue's campus walking to organic chemistry lab. Now, some of you might be like, well, if I was walking to organic chemistry lab, I'd cry anyway. But that's not why I was crying. And it wasn't even a lab. It was a library. So here's how exciting it was. I had to go to the library, sit for 3 hours, look up every chemical I was going to use in lab, and write down all the data sheet information about them. I'm like, can I just take a picture of my phone? Well, they didn't exist back then, by the way, guys. So no, I couldn't. I had to write it down. But I would cry and repent because I knew in my heart I wasn't doing right. I was convicted. But yet, I didn't know how to do differently. I was in a rough place. I knew that I was grieving my spirit, and I was miserable. I had no joy to the point I didn't even want to go back to graduation ceremony at Purdue. My mom made me. And Kendall was with me. We were engaged at the time, and I snapped to my mom. And that's the first time she saw that ugly flesh that was upset. Because to me, the dark place was Purdue, but that's not true. The dark place wasn't without of me. The dark place was within me. My spirit was grieved because I was ignoring him. I wasn't following his lead and guide and direction. And when we do that, we know it inside. And my heart was hurting. It's a knowing. It's a sense that's not based on reasoning. It is very much supernatural. You see, once I was saved in college, it was okay for me to hang with my friends at the bar until it wasn't okay for me to hang with my friends at the bar anymore. The Holy Spirit told me, I believe, not with an audible voice, but inside, don't go to the bar with them anymore. I said, but I'm their designated walker. How are they going to get home? Because they got pretty blasted sometimes, right? And I'll make sure they got home. I was protecting my, you know, I could justify it in my head. I don't want them to get picked up for public intox. So I can carry, you know, I can walk them home, make sure that they're okay. I don't want them to get in a fight because sometimes guys when they're drunk say stupid stuff to other guys who are drunk, right? Okay, I'll give you an example. My roommate in college, he's married to her now. We all grew up together at the same school. We went to a party, knocked on this apartment door. Okay, this is 2000. Maybe 1999. Anyway, knocks on the apartment door, opens up the door. Soon to be Hall of Famer Drew Brees opens the door of this apartment. He's the quarterback from New Orleans Saints. He went to Purdue. We went there at the same times. Didn't know each other except for this one encounter. My good friend, God bless her, was drunk off her rocker. She goes, "You're Drew Brees." He's like, "What of it?" And my roommate was sitting right here. "My boyfriend's a better quarterback than you are." That's what she says to him. I'm like, "Whew." We went to Sheridan High School. We ran the ball every play. All he had to do was this. You know, it's like, no, he's not. But you see, when he thankfully his entourage didn't come out and try to, you know, put us in our place. He's very gracious, very kind, very nice. And he just kind of chuckled and laughed and shut the door. And we didn't go in. But that, you know, so in my head, I'm like, I got to protect her from saying something like this again. It may be a linebacker next time. Who knows? It may be some unsaved guy. I have no idea. But the problem was in my heart. And later, I knew in my spirit I wasn't to go with them anymore. And later, the Lord revealed to me scripture of why he was telling me that. And here's the scriptures that he gave me. He gave me 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which says, "Stay away from all appearance of evil." Now, this isn't for everybody. He may be calling you to go into different places, and he's calling me to go. But for me, he was telling me to abstain from all appearance of evil. And he also gave me Romans chapter 14, verse 16, which, I'm in Romans. I'll just turn right there real quick. Romans 14, 16 says it like this: "Let not then your good be evil spoken of." And to put that verse in context, if you go to verse 15, "If your brother is grieved with your food," what you eat, "now walk thou not charitably, destroy not him with what you eat, for whom Christ died." I didn't want to destroy anybody with what I was drinking. This is what he's speaking to me. This is me and my convictions, what he was using in my life and how he confirmed for me not to go with them into the bars anymore at Purdue. And so I stopped. It's the same inner spirit witness that I had when he told me to sell my music CDs. That was hard. I love music. I still do love music. And I had a vast CD collection that was all secular. But I sold it by this inner witness. So these are just practical examples of the ways the Holy Spirit will lead you, and that you just know that it's right to do that. You know, if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will never miss it. You will never stick your foot in your mouth if you're led by the Holy Spirit. Anybody here ever been in a situation you wish you could draw that back? I have. I'm just being honest. I was about 10, 11 years old. I went to the state fairgrounds to a baseball clinic. It was done in one of the buildings there at the state fairgrounds, right? You may not know who this guy is. Anybody ever heard of Razor Shines? He was a minor league baseball player, played in the majors for a little bit, Montreal Expos, right? Well, he was putting on the clinic, and I knew that growing up there. We get there, and we're checking in. There's four of us boys from Sheridan High School. We're checking in, and I go, why are we going to clinic for Razor Shines? He never made the pros. He turns around at the counter and says, yes, I did. I mean, I was mortified. He's right there. I'm a 10-year-old boy, never going to play major league anything. And he's right there. Oh, stuck my foot in the mouth. I wasn't led by the Spirit right there in that instance. So anyway, if somebody famous is around, don't take me with you. Apparently, it's a bad idea. I'm just telling you. Have you ever gotten in a discussion with your spouse and you get a check inside not to say something, but you say it anyway? Because you got to say your piece. You got to get your point across. Because if you just say this one last phrase, she'll melt and be like, oh, you're right all along, honey. I'm sorry. Does it ever work that way? No. What happens instead when you get your point across? It's a cold war the next 3 days. Silence. Or maybe in your household, it's World War III the next 3 days. She's not going to be silent. The opposite happens. I don't know. Proverbs 20, verse 3. Let's take a look at this here. This is a little off. It's not off topic because we're talking about being led by the Spirit. But if you want to avoid World War III at your home or Cold War situation at your home, just take a look at this here. Proverbs 20, verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. Not only a fool, but also this word is an angry man, a wrathful man, a hateful man, a perverse man. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10, we see this. Only by pride comes contention. So we're angry, wrathful, and prideful, and we're causing all these issues. It's just our flesh, and we all have it. We all need to crucify it daily, right? In verse 10, though, it says, but with the well-advised, other translations, but those who are counseled is wisdom. But who's our counselor? Who's the one leading and guiding and directing us? You want to know the exact way to respond to a rebellious child? Be led by the Spirit, which is something I can probably work on for sure. Because I just go back to when I was in middle school and I just use sarcasm. That doesn't always work. They don't get it and they just get mad. And then the Lord reminds me about do not provoke your children to wrath. I'm like, ah, what about her, Lord? Or him, I'm sorry. If you don't know by now, Haley's staying in service with me, so I got to be careful. All my Haley examples are going out the window. In 1 chapter 3, verse 3, it says, for you are yet carnal. Carnal means you're living after the flesh. You're not living by the Spirit. You're not being led by the Spirit. For whereas among you is envying. Envying is not being led by the Spirit. Strife is not being led by the Spirit. And divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? So these are signs of walking in the flesh. Strife is one of those. In James chapter 3, verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. If you're allowing strife, you're opening the door to the enemy and you're allowing the devil to manifest in your house. If you're causing strife, you and your spouse, you and your children. Instead, the opposite, peace is the manifest presence of God. Your house should be full of peace. Your life should be full of peace and not strife. When you're driving your car, it should be full of peace. Your dog should be full of peace and not a yappy little thing that never shuts up. That just causes strife. Your cat shouldn't be spastic, but calm and peaceful in the presence of the Lord. But they belong to me. If I had a spastic dog, I'd have punted it a long time ago. I'm just telling you. I can't handle it. But I don't. I have a dog who's 110 pounds and wants to be in your lap like a tiny little spastic dog. But anyway, he'll climb right up there if you let him. There's somebody else on the inside of you besides you, the greater one. If you get something in your heart and he then confirms it, this is the number one way that he leads you. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. This is the number one way that he leads you and me. Not by an angel, not by an audible voice, not by a trance, not by a vision. But you say it happened in Acts. It did happen in Acts, but it wasn't a common occurrence. It might happen two or three times in a person's lifetime. Between Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 20, there's 18 chapters. 20 years have passed. It seems like it's happening every day, but 20 years have passed in the natural. We got to not forsake the supernatural because we're always looking for something spectacular. He's going to lead you by the inner witness, the inner knowing in your heart. That's just the same way that you know that you're saved. That's how he's going to lead you in everyday decisions. And you can receive this by faith, that he's leading, guiding, and directing you. Burnout. I saw an article this year on burnout. This week. It is a new defined medical condition. What does that mean? It means now insurance has to pay for money for burnout. It means now you can take off work for burnout. That's what it means. Burnout is simply work-related stress. Do you think that there's a better way to do your job to not get burnout? Yes, it's by the leading, direction, and guidance of the Holy Spirit. That's how we can do our job. Burnout shouldn't exist among Christians. This is the greatest advantage we have over non-Christians, being led by God himself, his Spirit inside of us. The Holy Spirit is not going to lead you to get burnt out or beat up or worn down. This happens when we allow our flesh to lead us or other people to pressure us, not when we're being led by the Spirit. I know that some of us have jobs that require a lot of attention, but if we're led by the Spirit, he knows the best way to do it every single time. Those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. The same verse that says that our heart, the way it leads us, our spirit is the candle of the Lord. It's just talking about let's just turn there. Psalm 16:7, because it's a different verse. I was getting it mixed up. Psalm 16:7. I wasn't going to go here, but I believe the Spirit's leading us to go here. Psalm 16:7. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I already talked about being rein-led. You know, you can sit on top. My mom rides horses. She has a horse. It's a pretty large horse. But she rides the horse, and if she just, while she's riding, it just lays a rein on the neck of that horse, this big, thick muscle of the horse's neck. The horse turns left or right. She doesn't have to whip it, kick it, do anything else. Just lays the rein on it, and the horse goes. That's the way we are to be led by the Holy Spirit of God. We're not to be a donkey sitting in the middle of the road, not budging, getting pulled on. If we're constantly putting out fleeces, or constantly asking for an angel to direct us or to voice the Lord to be audible, that's like the donkey. Why do you need that? I'd rather just have his rein, the Holy Spirit lead me by just touching me on the neck, than be beat like a mule. Right? Well, 16:7 says, in the nighttime. You know, back in the olden days, and for those of you who are younger, I'm not talking the 80s. The olden days before TV, maybe even electricity, cable, and all these other things. When dark came, a lot of people would go to bed. They'd work all the way till dark, and then they'd get ready and go to bed. Why? Because there was nothing to do at night. You can read a little bit by candlelight, but the light wasn't great. They would go to bed at dark. Imagine if we went to bed at dark these days and skipped the last 2 hours. And I'm talking to myself here of TV at night that we usually watch before. Well, the kids are finally in bed. It's 9 o'clock. Let's stay up till 11, watch a couple of shows, then go to bed. Well, imagine if I just went to bed at 9, prayed in the Holy Ghost for an hour laying in bed, and got quiet. See, in the old days, people got quiet at night because there was nothing else to do. There weren't all these distractions. Oh, you know, like for me, I get easily distracted. Well, what's on TV? Well, I only have an antenna. Nothing's on TV. So then I get on Xfinity, and I see, what's on Xfinity? Oh, there's something sure that I can watch. I'm watching the NHL playoffs. Haven't watched an NHL game the entire season, but I'll sit there and watch the playoffs game for 2 hours. Why? Because I'm just winding down. Is there a better way to wind down? Yeah, led by the Spirit. And so last night, I finally turned the game off, and I said, okay, what do you want me to do, Lord? And I sat there and watched TV with Kendall and said, but that's what he wanted me to do. She was watching something I'd already seen. I just spent the time with Kendall. And we just sat there together on the couch. I half fell asleep while she was there, but we just spent time together instead of me being distracted. At one point, I had my laptop up. I was playing a game on the computer, had my phone watching the NHL here, and something was on the big TV over there. Three screens. This is ridiculous. Kendall goes, you need any more screens open? I said, yeah, turn your phone on. She had it right here. I had four. But he says, in the nighttime, he'll lead you. And we get quiet. And for some of us, nighttime's better than morning because you don't know what morning is. You wake up at noon. So you need the nighttime to get quiet before the Lord. Some of us, you wake up before dawn and you can have that time before the Lord because that's nighttime to half the world anyway. I don't know what it is for you, but I do know this. If the Holy Spirit is leading you to get quiet for an hour, your flesh is going to fight it, and it's going to be hard for you. But we can still yield to that and be led by his Spirit in those times of quietness. It'll be tough. You got to retrain your flesh. You got to put it in its place. Let's look at a practical example of the way the Holy Spirit leads you. And we'll close with this example. Luke chapter 1, verse 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So I want you to truly get this in your heart. The Holy Spirit leads by an inner knowing, an inner witness. The voice of the Spirit, I believe, is your conscious. Your conscious. You know, people say my conscious leads me. Or I just knew it in my conscious. I shouldn't do that. That's an expression of the Spirit guiding and directing you. So we need to teach our children to obey their conscience, right? But here in Luke chapter 1, verse 3, here's another very practical way the Holy Spirit leads, guides, and directs us. It says, this is Luke, I'm going to start with verse 1. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Verse 3, Luke says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto you in order, most excellent Theophilus. Luke says, it seemed good. How did Luke come to write this gospel account? By the Holy Spirit, right? Isn't all scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit? But he didn't say, I was laying in bed, the skies parted, the Lord spoke, write this gospel, and then he dictated it to Luke. He didn't say that at all. What does he say? It seemed good for me to write this unto you. Something as much of God as writing part of the Bible, surely we would think it would be an angel or a prophet or an audible voice. But no, it seemed good. That's the witness that he had inside. It seemed good for him to write that. Very simple, very practical. How many days or how many times in a day do you do something because it seems good to do it? Right? Amen? Because this is practical. This is just... how we live as Christians led by the Lord in our hearts. It seemed good. This isn't the only example either. Acts chapter 15, verse 28. I remember the first time I heard this, I got so excited. Because it seems good for me to eat ice cream every night. I don't think that's by the leading of the Holy Spirit, though. 15:28, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. What's going on here? The leadership of the church at the time were dealing with the conversion of the Gentiles. The Gentiles, the gospel's been presented to the Gentiles. They've been saved. They know that it's for the Gentiles. And so they're like, well, what do the Gentiles have to do once they get saved? Do they need to be circumcised? Do they have to abstain from eating this? Do they have to follow the law, basically? So they're having this huge discussion about it. And this is their conclusion on this discussion about the new Gentile converts keeping the law. These are the leaders of the known church. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us. That's a co-witness. The Holy Spirit and us that, and then he goes on to say, we don't lay upon them any greater burden than these things, abstain from food offered to idols, and from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication, from which you keep yourselves, you shall do well, farewell. That's what the new Gentiles had to do. That was their list. How did they get to that list? It seemed good to them and the Holy Spirit to give them that list of things to do. The Holy Spirit co-witnessing and leading and directing them. Same chapter, verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles. Other translations, that please is translated, then it seemed good to the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Verse 25, it seemed good to us being assembled with one accord to send chosen men to your beloved Barnabas and Paul. How did they pick who went? You see, when they went to replace Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus, how did they replace him? They drew lots. Why did they draw lots? Because they are being led and directed by the external, not the internal. The day of Pentecost had not yet come. They weren't filled with the Holy Spirit yet. So they drew lots. By drawing lots, this is how they were invoking or seeking the guidance of the Lord. Whoever the lot fell upon, that became the new disciple. I don't remember his name. Something like that. Yeah, Matthias. That's the only time we hear him, so, you know, it is what it is. But now the Holy Spirit's inside of everyone. The presence of the Lord is inside of everyone. Back in the Old Testament, in order to find the presence of the Lord, where did they have to go? They had to go to where the Ark of the Covenant was. They had to go to the tabernacle. They had to go to the temple. the anointing of the Lord, the Holy Spirit would come upon kings for that anointing to tell people what to do. The Holy Spirit would come upon prophets for that anointing to tell people what to do. That's not so in the new covenant that you and I are under. We don't go anywhere for the presence of the Lord. Where we go, there is the presence of the Lord because he's inside of us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible is clear on this. We don't have to go. We're not to go to a prophet to seek for them to tell us what to do like they did in the old covenant. We may go to a prophet. They may give us a word, and it's going to confirm within us what the Spirit's been dealing with us. And that's the way that it is, and that's the way that it should be. Paul wishes that all would prophesy. Why? So you are constantly getting confirmation of the Holy Spirit leading you, so you know his voice and you follow his lead. But we don't have a prophet, you know, over here back next to the side of the building in a shed. And when you want to know what to do, you go ask them for guidance and counsel. We don't do that. But in the old days, people would go up to the prophet and say, "Prophet of the Lord, tell us what we should do. Should we go into battle? Should we do this?" We don't have to do that anymore because we are led by the Spirit within ourselves. You won't find in the New Testament where a prophet told them what to do like they did in the old covenant. The role and function has changed to a little degree because the presence of the Lord is in each and every one of us to lead, guide, and direct us. That's why he says all of us can prophesy. It doesn't mean all of us walk in the office of a prophet. I'm not saying that. There are special anointings and special giftings for each and every one of us. But we all have the Spirit of the Lord within each and every one of us. This is the number one way he's going to lead us. It's by the witness within. We are not to blindly follow anybody. They can miss it just like we can miss it. Verse 34. Notwithstanding, it pleased, another translation, it seemed good to Silas to stay there still, to abide there still. Okay? So this is the inner witness that Silas had to stay. Other people were leaving. The work of the church had been done. He's like, "You know what? No, I'm going to stay right here." "Well, why are you going to stay right there, Silas?" "I don't know. It seems good. It seems good I should stay right here." Is that the leading of the Holy Spirit? How many times does it seem good to stay somewhere and we end up going with somebody else anyway because they ask us a second or a third time we go with them? Or how many times we stay because we don't want to do something else when we know we're being led, it seems good to go with them? Very simple, very practical. Silas, to him, it seemed good to stay where he was at. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. Some days after, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go again and visit our brothers in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them when they were in Pamphylia and went not with them to do the work. And their contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose who? Silas. Why was Silas still there? Because it seemed good for him to stay where he was at. So Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through all of Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And we know the Bible follows Paul and Silas. In verse 40, Silas was available for ministry because it seemed good for him to abide where he was. He had the opportunity because he obeyed the leading of the Holy Spirit to stay put. Do you want to always be at the right place at the right time and hooked up with the right people? We need to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. How many people are not used in the kingdom today because they should have stayed, but they left for whatever reason? Praise the worship team. You go ahead and come on up. We're going to close here. How many people left when they should have stayed because they were offended, not recognized, or not used, and then they missed it because they weren't patient? The Bible says through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. And everybody thinks that's just a tough word to say patience. It's not a tough word. Patience is faith. When your patience running out, your faith has run out. I mean, that's just the way it is. I was praying for a wife. It was a year later. What if I quit after a month? Be living in a bridge in Lafayette. I already told you that. Living under a bridge. Lafayette. No wife. No job. Depressed. Following the leading of my emotions because they were sad. Because I got dumped. It happens. But it wouldn't have happened if I was led by Spirit. I never would have hooked up with that girl in the first place. Oh, the bane of my youth. But that's the way it goes. I never would have missed it if I'd known this now. So if you're young and you're in high school now, or you're getting ready to go to college, or you're in middle school, whatever now, the Holy Spirit inside of you is not some middle school baby Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit inside of you is not fighting acne. There's no such thing as a middle schooler Holy Spirit. And thank God for that. It's so awkward. He's not awkward. He's all God, right? He can lead and direct you and guide you now to stay away from relationships that would harm you. I'm not talking about girlfriends or boyfriends. I'm just talking about friends in general who run with the wrong crowd, who get in trouble, who don't have the same, you know, you don't, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked. That's talking about Christians and non-Christians who get into marriage. But, you know, to some extent, it's also just who you hang out around with all the time. It's a very simple, natural concept. And things of the Spirit and things of the natural, they coincide all the time. But if I have a whole barrel full of apples and they're all good but one rotten, give it a little time, the whole barrel turns rotten. And if I have a whole barrel of rotten apples and throw in one good apple, they're not going to all turn good. It doesn't work that way. And that makes no sense to our head that it would work that way. But yet we think if we hang around with the wrong crew, yeah, but you know what? I'm missionary dating. No such thing. You want to be a missionary? Hook up with the girls. Go to Africa. Be a missionary. Hook up with us, go to Honduras, be a missionary. Don't do it in your dating life. Don't do it in your, now if you're already married, that's different. The Bible speaks about your witness in your household. We gotta understand though, but the leading of the Holy Spirit is for all, every single one of us. He's all God inside of us, to be reverenced, to be honored, to be given place in every situation we go. It's like for me, when I'm driving, what I'm listening to, it needs to honor his presence because he's with me. I'm not saying it always does. I can do better in areas as well. What I'm watching on TV needs to honor him because he's with me. What we're speaking about in conversation needs to honor him because he's with me and he's with you. Last one here, Luke chapter 2. Last one here. I say that, but I mean that. In closing, Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and he was the same man, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, this in itself is amazing. Pentecost had not happened yet. The Holy Spirit was upon this man. That's a special anointing not all had before Jesus died, rose again, and he sent the Holy Spirit. Remember, he says, I will send you another comforter, and it's good for you that I go. In John chapter 14, John chapter 16 speaks of this. Verse 26. And it was revealed to Simeon unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It was revealed by the Holy Spirit. This is a revelation gift. You know, every gift of the Holy Spirit we read about in Ephesians and Romans and in Corinthians was seen before Pentecost, except for tongues and interpretation. Every single gift, the revelation gift, the prophecy gift, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, of miracles, you can see them all. Teaching, evangelizing, you can see them all, except for tongues and interpretation. And here, with the Holy Spirit being upon Simeon, was the gift of revelation. And what was the revelation? He should not see death till he saw the Lord's Christ. Verse 27, and he came, how? By the Spirit unto the temple. He obeyed the voice. He didn't sit at home and be like, well, I got other things I could do. It's not even Saturday, because that was right there, Sabbath day. No, he came and he followed the leading of the Holy Spirit, and he went to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. How is he in the right place at the right time? By the leading of the Holy Spirit. He was at the temple right when they came to offer Jesus. Skip on down with me. Verse 36. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in when? At the exact instant that Simeon was holding up the baby Jesus, blessing him, she came in at that exact instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Please stand with me. You know, we're getting ready to do VBS. And one of the days, one of the scriptures is, for such a time as this, speaking of Esther, you are here for such a time as this. In our lives, every day can be such a time as this if we're led by the Holy Spirit. If we allow Him as He leads and we obey His guidance and direction. Just think of that simple phrase. It seemed good. Why are you here this morning at Spirit Life Church? It seemed good to go to church this morning. And we're glad you're here. But how many other people are at home ignoring their seamer, sleeping in, cutting grass, doing work around the house, and quieting the voice of the Holy Spirit in their lives and His leading? How many? This is a town of about 12,000. That's in city limits. That's not all the surrounding areas. How many are in church this morning or were in church last night? How many are led by the Holy Spirit of God? Well, Spirit of Life Church, we are sons of God, and we can expect to be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? And that's for every believer. For those who are the children of God, to be led by the Spirit of God. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to worship, and you can be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank You for Your truth that is Your Word, and that You've given to us the Spirit of truth, that He will guide us into all truth. That we are not helpless or orphans, but the greater One lives inside of us to lead, guide, and direct us in every avenue of our life. Please help us, oh God, to acknowledge the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not that it's audible, but His leading, His direction, His witness with our spirit, confirmed by Your Word, to go forth and minister in Your name, Jesus. To be as You, Jesus, spoken of You that says You went around doing good, healing all who are oppressed of the devil. Well, today there are still those oppressed of the devil, and You called us, anointed by the same Holy Spirit, to go and do good and heal all oppressed of the devil. In Jesus' name, amen. out. And if you're on the praise and worship team for VBS, you have a 2 o'clock. You'll be back to go through the songs. Amen. All right, be blessed. Shackles.